Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. It's the off season, February 23rd, 3:57 p.m. I'm doing okay. It's good to see your face, Trey. Thanks for coming in with the camera. I wanted to see how your beautiful face was looking anyways. I don't think I'm doing anything with video for this episode, but it's always nice when Trey turns on his camera and I can see his beautiful face. So how are you doing, Trey?
I'm doing all right. School's starting to get a little bit hectic, but I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it because I'm a soldier, bro.
Yeah, indeed. We are going to get through this school grind, as they like to call it, because, well, we have to. So two shows this week. That's exciting. Sunday we're gonna have on our good friend Ryan. Not that boy Wolf, but Ryan Kearney, the great Roadie on the Horn podcaster, to walk us through some combine stuff. So, Trey, I think maybe between now and Sunday is a good time for us to start. Like, I'm having Ryan send me over his draft board or whatever. I'm going to start YouTubing some wide receivers because I like to YouTube wide receivers sometimes. So I have some basis to talk about on Saturday, but we're going to learn much more about the draft then. But today I thought, well, here we are in the off season. It's time to preview the off season. So we're going to go through today and do a few things. We're going to talk about three teams that we're really interested in this off season. We're going to talk about briefly the top five free agents and some flashy bonus guys I've come up with, and these are attainable free agents. So I hate to say this to you, Trey, but I know you were really looking forward to the Davante Adams sweepstakes. He's not going anywhere. The Green Bay Packers have a franchise tag. That's a thing that exists. He will be staying in Green Bay. Most of the top, you're going to see a lot of free agent lists here soon, people. Don't freak out, because like the top 22 of those guys, like a majority of those guys, they're just not going to hit the open market. They'll get deals done or they'll get franchise tagged. I think we've done this long enough to learn that, Trey. So I'm saying that. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah. I mean, it's the reason why we don't see too many big time free agents just make it to the open market, period, because the franchise tag exists. You know, just going back to the Allen Robinson situation, he was supposed to hit the market and he was set to have a good amount of suitors, but he got hit with the franchise tag. The Bears went through a bit of a weird carousel at quarterback. He didn't have a real good season. And I don't think Chicago's going to franchise tag him again, but who knows what suitors he'll have this offseason, you know, in comparison to the suitors he would have had after last season. So the franchise tag, a lot of people don't like it, including me. I really don't like it because I want players to get out to the open market. And second of all, I want chaos in free agency. So, but teams do what's best for them, you know, and that includes retaining their top end talent by all means necessary. And the franchise tag is one of those avenues where they can retain their talent without having to agree to a lucrative long-term deal. So despite, you know, that, you know, most of the top end talent probably not making it to the market though this year, there's still going to be some good options out there that everybody should keep an eye on. So we'll go through that as the offseason, you know, chugs on and as we get close to start free agency. But aside from that top end talent that, you know, through most of it won't make it to the, you know, to the open market, there's still some real nice options out there that everybody should keep their eye on. So
indeed. I wanted to just briefly touch base on any final Super Bowl thoughts. The last time we talked was Super Bowl night, but I know that we've both had time to consume a lot of media since then. we might have some different takes, things like that, that have popped up. I just wanted to throw to you first, Trey. I just wondered if there was, if you don't have anything, that's fine. But I was just wondering, cleaning up, let's talk one last time for like 2 or 3 minutes about the last game of 2022, in the 2021-2022 season, that is. Any thoughts on the Super Bowl that have come up since the game was played?
Nothing really, aside from the fact that the Bengals really want to be successful and tap into the potential they have as a team with all that young talent they have. They need to get Joe Burrow on offensive line before he actually seriously gets hurt again, because he took a beating against the Rams, and I'm sure the Bengals' top decision makers weren't too happy witnessing that throughout the season, and especially in the Super Bowl. So get Joe Burrow on O-line, see what you can do offensively, find some pieces in the secondary for Cincinnati, and then they just might be cooking, because they have some nice talent everywhere else. They just need to get their O-line together.
Indeed. I didn't have a ton more to say either. I just wanted to kind of check in, see what was happening. The parade. Matthew Stafford walked away from some lady falling off a stage. That was weird. But other than those kind of side tangent stories, I did not have a ton to say about all this. So, Trey, let's get to the off season. I'm going to start with you. What is the biggest offseason storyline before we get to these teams, in your opinion?
I mean, you're throwing me a bone there. I mean, it's obviously Aaron Rodgers, you know. But I think the whole Aaron Rodgers situation isn't really as black and white as people might assume it to be. Well, it actually might be. You know, he's either staying or he's leaving or he's retiring. But at this point, it really sounds like he's staying either way. So,
yeah,
I don't really think that's anything we should be talking about at this point in time. Probably the other offseason storyline I would probably be looking for is quarterback movement. I mean, of course, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be moved, but you don't know what's going to happen with Russell Wilson in Seattle. You know, Seattle has said time and time again that they're going to keep him. One indicator of that is them keeping Pete Carroll. But the Seahawks aren't going to be competing for a Super Bowl next season unless something drastic happens, because they just have too many holes on both sides of the ball, particularly that offensive line, especially defensively. So maybe Russell Wilson gets moved. Who knows? But we'll see. Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, you know, Chris Mortensen of ESPN reported, I believe it was, you know, during Super Bowl week, that the Colts are expected to move him from Carson Wentz, whether it's via trade or he's cut. It was a rather weird development, because the Colts seemingly, you know, signaled that they were all in on him. They traded a first, now it is a first round pick and a third round pick. Two pieces of draft capital that Chris Ballard really loves to hang on to if he absolutely can. So what happens with, you know, Carson Wentz? You know, what's going on in Pittsburgh? You know, Kevin Colbert, he's supposed to be retiring after the draft, but right now he said if the season started today, Mason Rudolph will be the starter. And if you've watched enough Mason Rudolph over the years, you should not want Mason Rudolph starting for your football team. He's really bad, really bad. And also, there were some rumors surrounding Kirk Cousins, I believe, over the past couple days.
Right.
To the Carolina Panthers, which I don't know. I don't really think that would be a good decision by Carolina, simply because they need to find a young, controllable quarterback that can actually play some good football, because they try to trade multiple pieces for a veteran quarterback just to save the skins of Matt Rhule and whoever else's seat is hot up there in Carolina, then it's just going to end in disaster. So they came. Plus, Carolina still has some holes to fill in that roster as well. So they should hold on to their draft capital and fill out that roster before trading it, you know, draft capital for a veteran quarterback who, you know, Kirk Cousins has had his moments, but he still has that weird reputation around the league as a quarterback that, I don't know, has some good moments, but has some really, really bad moments at bad times. So, that's another thing that I've heard, you know, or seen over the past couple of days in terms of quarterback movement. But, you know, I there's some other things that I didn't even mention. Kyler Murray, that whole situation is weird. Hasn't really been resolved. We don't know what's going down to Denver. You know, we don't know where Jimmy Garoppolo is going. We don't know who's starting at quarterback for the Saints. You know, it's going to be a weird, weird season for quarterback movement. After, you know, a couple months where we thought some teams' quarterback situations weren't all in flux like they are now. So it'll be an interesting sort of period for quarterback movement and see which quarterback goes where and, you know, how they fit on their new prospective team. So,
yeah, not to mention you got teams like the Washington football team that have been said that they are not happy with their quarterback situation. So, going to be really interesting. I mean, I was looking at some of the quarterbacks, and there's no truly elite talent available, Trey, but like all these kind of 1B guys that are like borderline backups, like Teddy Bridgewater types, there's like a ton of them that are going to hit the open market. So there will be some answers, but I don't know if any of them are going to necessarily elevate a team to take them to the playoffs. So that'll be something to watch. All right, Trey, give me the number one team. And I put my teams down here, so if you want to check on the Google Doc really quick, I'll stall for you for a second. I don't want you to steal any of mine. But these are teams that we're interested in this offseason because of holes they have on the roster, because of, you know, this, that, or the other thing that just intrigues us about them coming into this NFL season.
Yeah, three teams that are interesting to us this offseason. So, gosh, you took one of the teams I was going to put down straight off the fly, so that sucks. But one team that probably, you know, is going to interest me this offseason, you know, it's tough. I was going to say maybe, I'm trying to – this is hard. I didn't have time to look over the doc today, so maybe –
I'll go first.
Well, I had one.
You got it.
The Patriots. Okay. Patriots. If I'm not wrong, the Patriots are in the business of trying to upgrade their weapons around Mac Jones, because last year, you know, the weapon situation wasn't really all that crazy. I mean, you had Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, and Jacoby Myers, Jacoby Myers probably the top options in the passing game. You had Hunter Henry, who had his moments throughout the year but wasn't anything entirely crazy, and then Jonnu Smith, who they signed to that big time deal, but Jonnu Smith wasn't entirely all that good as well. So I'm looking at the Patriots to see what they do in terms of upgrading their weapons for Mac Jones, because, you know, of course, when you have a young controllable quarterback, you need apple towel around him to see if he, you know, engage and see if he's the guy for the future. So I believe they're happy with Mac Jones, but I think they need to start upgrading some talent around him. My second team that I'm probably interested in seeing what they'll do this offseason, and I'll just take a cheat card here, I'll just say the Titans, after that weird and really bad, you know, season-ending loss to the Bengals, there was questions surrounding Ryan Tannehill, what they're going to do with him. There was questions with Todd Downing, offensive coordinator, what they're going to do with him. But it seems like both those guys are going to stay, and there weren't really any, reasonable options to move on from them. Because, you know, the Titans aren't going to, you know, trade crazy draft capital to go find another, you know, upgraded quarterback. They're not going to fire Todd Downing and try to find another offensive coordinator. So the mantra surrounding the Titans this offseason is that they're going to surround Ryan Tannehill with as much talent as possible and surround the coaching staff with as much talent as possible. And Titans should be in the market for an upgrade at the tight end spot. They didn't really get a lot of production out of there. Anthony Firkser, you know, was supposed to be, you know, a player that took a big step, but he didn't. He actually took a step down and had a pretty disappointing season. So, yeah, the Titans will be looking for an upgrade at the tight end spot. Luckily for them, there's a pretty good amount of tight end options in free agency. So they're pretty lucky in that aspect. Offensive coordinator, they didn't fire Todd Downing, but they did bring in Tim Kelly, who was coordinating the Texans offense before he got fired. He had some nice seasons with Deshaun Watson, I believe, when he got elevated to offensive coordinator. But, you know, the Texans offense was horrible. So the Texans offense was horrible in 2021. And the Texans thought, hey, let's just can Tim Kelly. So that's, you know, another option that the Titans have for this season. They put Tim Kelly as a passing game coordinator sort of thing. And that's something that I think the Titans really needed some help in, was the passing game. You know, not just, you know, in terms of personnel, but because of scheme, design. There was some issues that weren't really brought up, you know, in the spotlight last year that are probably being brought up now. So we'll see if Tim Kelly can help with that. But other than that, the Titans do need some help, potentially at offensive line. You know, Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, both of those guys could be cap casualties unless they take pay cuts. You don't know what you're going to do about backup running back. Deontay Foreman was really good for them, but he played well enough to the point where he could get some nice money. Well, not nice money, but some respectable money as a starter from another team if they decide to do so. And, you know, cap casualties, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, Jack Rabbit Jenkins, you know, he has a pretty hefty salary for someone his age, so he could be a cap casualty. So there are some questions for the Titans, you know, roster-wise and personnel-wise, that plenty of people should be paying attention to as the offseason goes on. So that'll be a weird, that'll be a team to watch as the offseason goes on. And my third team.
Let's do some back and forth here.
Okay. I was just about to say, finally, you, cause I know I've been talking for a long time. I want to wrap it up quickly about third team.
No. So I'll go with the team I stole from you. The Chargers, to me, they're uber interesting. Mike Williams, there's been a lot of articles written about Mike Williams lately, like that kind of note that they might not tag him, which would be weird because he wouldn't cost that much to tag and they'd still have a considerable amount of cap space. To me, though, the offense doesn't need much tinkering. They can draft guys. They can draft a wide receiver in the draft. Their offensive line, they actually took care of last year. I think interior, they could use another guard maybe, but I thought the line was by far the best Chargers line that's really existed for like the past 4 or 5 years, but it's always kind of been a weakness for the Chargers. And this year it was kind of a strength, but the defense is ultimately the reason they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, that Raiders game, if they just are able to stop the run, they can probably force a tie and make it into the playoffs. But it's clear at this point that Kenneth Murray is not an answer at linebacker. You need to upgrade from guys like Kyler Fackrell and guys like that on this roster. And even though you have Asante Samuel Jr., who played okay throughout the stretch, and you have a great safety in Derwin James, secondary could use some help. I mean, Chris Harris is only getting older and has some up and down moments already. That's just kind of the corner he is. You could definitely use some secondary help if you're the Chargers, but I think the Chargers are just a really interesting team to look at because they're in that window where this is, you've probably got one more season where you can have Justin Herbert on the super cheap. And then you're going to have to extend him and move some real money around. So you should go out, get some long-term guys under contract now so they can build around Justin Herbert in the future. So the Chargers are pretty interesting to me. What else do you have to say about the Chargers, Trey?
Well, I mean, I would think that they need to maybe find another running back to complement Austin Eckler. I mean, he's put up some numbers, I guess, but he's still a bit of an injury-prone back that probably needs another sort of bruiser, I guess, to complement him and what he can bring in terms of, you know, his skill set on the field. So I will probably find another running back, preferably a bruiser, to help offset Austin Eckler's skill set. But other than that, maybe tight end, maybe. I mean, who was their starting tight end this past season? Jared Cook. Oh,
yeah, Jared Cook.
And he's just not all that good. So
yeah.
I would potentially find another tight end option. And they're, you know, like I said earlier, the free agency class for tight ends this year is actually pretty plentiful, nice options. So I could see them splurge. I could see them splurging at tight end just to add more weapons around Justin Herbert. But other than that, I don't have too much to say.
Yeah, I think drafting a wide receiver, if you're a team like with a young quarterback, is just never a bad idea, especially if you have the offensive line figured out. I mean, look at the Bengals. Drafting Ja'Marr Chase totally changed the franchise, really, when you paired him up with Joe Burrow. So I think it wouldn't hurt if you're the Chargers. You're not going to have a super high draft pick, but you're probably going to be in the range where you can take one of the first two wide receivers off the board, and I think that could help draft wise so yeah, I'm interested to see what they end up doing this offseason. The other team I have here, and this is kind of I put this team on here because I wanted to talk like about a lot of different teams, but like basically any team that drafted a quarterback last year, I'm pretty curious about, because basically every single one of those guys, except for Mac Jones, did pretty mediocre to terribly throughout the 2022 season. So the Jets were who I picked here because I actually sat down and watched the Jets like the other day for some reason. The defense got like remarkably better down the stretch. They have some real guys on defense with Quinnen Williams and up front. And there are still holes to fill on the offense. You've got to fix your offensive line, which was not very good. And you could probably use another wide receiver since Corey Davis went out with an injury. And we're not sure how much we can count on Corey Davis. But Zach Wilson did show some signs of improvement down the stretch. Is that enough to say he's not going to be a bust? No, but I think the Jets are just a fascinating team because they have all those draft picks this year. They've got some cap space. And not to mention, like, one of the guys that everybody freaked out about them drafting as a good thing, Mekhi Becton, he didn't play at all this year. And it sounds like the team has serious doubts that he's actually going to continue to play for them, which suddenly you don't have a tackle again. And that is not great. So, and this really is Jets ownership is patient, I guess, but not really. I mean, most GMs in New York get like 2 or 3 years. This is year 2 or 3 for Joe Douglas. Like, he's got to knock it out of the park this offseason. I think there's just a ton of pressure on him to have an awesome offseason and make the Jets more competitive, because they can't be they just can't end up in the top 10 again. That just can't happen for them. Like, they've got to be like a middling team next year where that gets like between 7 and 8 wins. It's just not that hard to do with, you know, the added game. It's not hard to win 6 to 8 games. So they've got to get better in that regard. And I'm interested to see what they end up doing there.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up about Becton. And it's a good point that you bring up. I wasn't really, you know, expecting, you know, the Jets to have those sort of feelings about Becton, because he played relatively well in 2020. You know, of course, had his moments as a rookie, but overall, he played pretty good football. And that's kind of hard to do for a rookie tackle, especially one that's drafted so high. And, you know, he was drafted pretty high. So, I don't know. That's a weird situation, you know, for Becton in New York. Because if they move on from Becton, you know, which I don't think they will, you know, based on what Robert Saleh is saying, you know, they still want to see some improvement from him, but, you know, they're pretty all in on him. But if the Jets do the unthinkable and do move on from Becton, then, you know, you're just setting up your quarterback to fail. So, and he doesn't have the barrage of weapons like Joe Burrow does in Cincinnati. So, you're just setting Zach Wilson up to be just a live practice dummy back there if you do move on from Becton. You know, any team would probably, you know, go at the chance to snatch him up as well. So, that's a weird situation with Becton, in all honesty, and probably one we should monitor.
Yeah, it seems to be a character thing, if what I've read from Jets beat reporters is correct. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on. Who was your third team, Trey?
Oh, my third team? My third team, I was going to say maybe the Panthers.
Okay, I'll go somewhere else.
Oh, you had the Panthers.
Go Panthers, though.
Okay,
talk about the Panthers.
That's true. Well, you know, the Panthers are in a weird spot. They don't have a quarterback. Sam Darnold is obviously not the answer, you know, unless he has Christian McCaffrey beside him to hold his hand. And Matt Rhule could be on the way out. So, what does that really signal, I guess you could say? The Panthers could be in for an offseason where they make a splash move or two and really try to reshape this roster into one that can contend. Because, first off, you know, like I said, Matt Rhule is probably playing for his job or coaching for his job, excuse me, because all the reports out of Carolina are stating that David Tepper isn't really all that infatuated with Rhule and the job he's done. So especially that collapse after that 3-0 start to the season. So the Panthers could make a splash move or two. Probably won't be, you know, a quarterback in the draft because, you know, if they're smart, they wouldn't fall in love with a prospect in this draft unless they're really planning to draft a quarterback that can develop into a real problem once they've, you know, got their bearings and they've gotten their game to a respectable point. But really the avenue for the Panthers this offseason has to be in the quarterback trade market. And you don't know what options are out there, I guess, you know. So, you know, we said Kirk Cousins, he could be out the door. Russell Wilson, you know, we keep saying Russell Wilson, maybe he's an option as well. So there's just some, you know, a weird sort of offseason for the Panthers that might turn out to be a big one in terms of moves and money, just so Matt Rhule can put a product or at least attempt to put a product on the field to where he doesn't lose his job. lose his job soon. So it could be a pretty, you know, up, you know, and down flurry of moves for the Panthers offseason for the Panthers. So I'm pretty interested in seeing what they do.
Yeah, they're just a fascinating setup because parts of a roster look pretty promising. Their front seven is got a lot of talent on it and has been drafted towards really, really well. But at the same time, you've got a bunch of questions in your secondary with, I mean, you draft JC Horn, but he was up and down. You've got CJ Henderson, who's another major question mark, a guy drafted high, but who hasn't really panned out. Stephon Gilmore played well when he was healthy, but had a hard time staying healthy. And you can't really start AJ Bouye as a corner in the NFL anymore. He's just not a startable player. So they've got work to do in their secondary. They've also got tremendous work to do in their offensive line. Sam Darnold got killed when he was in for a majority of the season when he was able to play. He was not protected well. You can't expect to bring a quarterback in and have them play well behind that offensive line. But at the same time, they've got good offensive weapons still. I mean, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, like these are guys that you can go after. But then there's the question of Christian McCaffrey too. A lot of people think that he could be a trade guy this offseason, especially with his health concerns in the past. So the Panthers, I agree, are just a really interesting team. Finally, before we take a break here, I'm going to go the San Francisco 49ers because I have a take. And it's one I know Trey disagrees with, but here's my basis on it. Well, today, Adam Schefter went on Ari Mirov's podcast and was like, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get traded because people in the San Francisco building still believe Trey Lance needs more time to sit. If that's the case, I guess just more and more, like, from the terribleness of his first start against the Cardinals this year to the fact they never used him in running packages in the playoffs. Like, Trey Lance, to me, is one of the most interesting characters to watch this offseason because I have no faith that he is going to actually work out in San Francisco. And it feels like Kyle Shanahan took a huge gamble on a guy he didn't realize how far back he was. Like, why are you trading all that draft capital if you have a guy that you don't think can be ready to play in year two? Like, that's crazy. Like, he should not have been taken number. He was taken as the third overall pick in the draft, Trey. Like, that's crazy. The two quarterbacks above him have already played a full NFL season, and he has seen no action. And when he has seen the field, he's looked mediocre to terrible, especially with his arm. His throwing mechanics look absolutely awful, and he seems to be, like, my comp for him is like early stage Cam Newton, but he can't throw the ball. Like, he kind of reminds me of, like, I mean, you want to go Kaepernick, but even Kaepernick could throw the ball a little bit early. Like, Trey Lance just does not have the tool set to throw NFL passes. And, like, if you spent all that draft capital to get him and he's not ready by year two and you're banking on Jimmy G again, I get that you're a great coach, Kyle Shanahan, but at some point, someone's got to be held accountable in San Francisco. They've had, what, like 6 or 7 years now to set this thing up, and this was the closest they've come to sniffing a championship, I guess, the Jimmy Garoppolo Super Bowl year. But every year you go into the season with Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback, you know that you're probably not going to win the Super Bowl just because he's Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I don't know, Trey. To me, they're a fascinating team. They have a little bit of cap room. They have some draft. They don't have any draft assets because they traded all of them to get Trey Lance. And now there's all this rumors that Jimmy Garoppolo might not be traded. And then suddenly it is a real quarterback competition. And who's to say Jimmy G won't beat out Trey Lance and we'll just run it back, and they'll be a fine team to watch and a creative offense, but ultimately be held back by their quarterback. I mean, I don't understand people's belief in Trey Lance at this point, because he's done nothing to prove that he's ready. And I mean, Booger McFarland had this take on ESPN and the football world dragged him. Like, I don't see that. I agree with Booger. Like, there's no evidence that shows us Trey Lance is ready to go. None. There's no flashes. Like, there's no positive momentum. Like, to me, the Niners are a huge question mark because Trey Lance is a giant mystery.
Yeah, and I could see, you know, the scenario of Trey Lance not being ready to play in year two, because in all honesty, in the games that I did watch him, you know, in the preseason and even during the game, the one start that he had against Houston, Cardinals. He didn't look ready during those games at all. And of course he looked better against the Texans, and that's to be expected, but against the Cardinals, he looked out of place. He didn't look ready at all. And maybe that's because, you know, he didn't have a ton of plan experience to round out his last year in North Dakota State. He only had one game. And in that one game, he didn't look all that crazy either. I think with Trey Lance is that a lot of people were betting on his traits being materialized into a solid NFL quarterback. And that could still happen. But it was weird to, you know, sort of hear all these people you know, make these calls saying Trey Lance should start when it was clearly, or he was clearly, a quarterback that was leaning towards more of a project than a surefire thing to contribute early on. And to be fair, because I'm not the biggest believer in Jimmy G, I said, okay, throw out Trey Lance. It can't be that much worse, right? But Trey Lance, you know, in the games that I've watched him play, he just doesn't look all that ready. And it just sort of makes you question, you know, like you said, why would the 49ers spend all that draft capital on a quarterback who isn't going to be ready to play by year two, you know, unless something drastic happens, when they could have just gone out, they could have gotten Tom Brady. You know, they could have gotten Tom Brady when he was a free agent. They could have stuck with Jimmy G, and they could have waited out the whole Deshaun Watson situation whenever that ends, which I was, you know, on the record saying that if the 49ers got Deshaun Watson, they would probably run the NFC for years because that defense and Kyle Shanahan and the weapons that Francisco has with Deshaun Watson, that's scary. But it just sort of makes you question what's the whole plan in San Francisco now? Because if Jimmy Garoppolo isn't traded, you know, the 49ers basically admit that, one, Trey Lance isn't ready to start, and two, that they made a mistake, like you said, trading away all that capital just to get into the position to draft him. And I don't think they want to do neither of those things, because I think they want to win now, but they realize that they don't have any, you know, options, crazy options to go out there and say, hey, if we bring this guy in, I'm sure we'll be closer to winning a Super Bowl. So it's an odd situation for them, because when you look at the quarterback market, what options do they have out there to where they can say, if we plug this guy in, we win a Super Bowl? I mean, who?
None. Nobody.
Exactly. So they're stuck, basically. And that's probably the worst kind of feeling for a contending team, is when you're stuck at the quarterback position.
And like, you have to trade Jimmy G, in my opinion, because part of the reason Trey Lance probably didn't look ready in any of these starts this year is he's not getting any of the reps.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to throw him to the fire at some point. Like, even if he's tremendously bad, like, you have to see what you have in him. They, like, if they really, I hope that this is, now this could just be Adam Schefter, you know, pondering.
Yeah.
But I hope that the San Francisco front office is smarter than this, because they need to bet on Trey Lance. And if Trey Lance doesn't pay off, they'll restart in San Francisco. No Kyle Shanahan and certainly no John Lynch, because this is their legacy. They decided to bet on Trey Lance, and it's time to see if that bet paid off or not. Let's take a break. Trey, unfortunately, the reality of human life is that someday we will all pass on. No one wants to think about it. It's an uncomfortable topic, but it's important to take care of you and your loved ones when that day comes.
That's right, Eric. Fortunately for our listeners, we know of a great guy that can help you set up your wills and trusts.
Absolutely, Trey. Our friend Andrew McCullough has you covered. You can find him on Twitter at AMCCULLOUGH105. His DMs are open, and he and the folks at Brindley Sullivan can help you take care of you and your family's estate planning needs. Don't just take our word for it, though. Here is University of Utah star and current draft prospect, Britton Covey, to tell us more.
Hey guys, Britton Covey here. As my long time at the University of Utah is coming to a close, it's time for me to start thinking about my future. There's no one I trust more than Andrew McCullough at the firm of Brindley Sullivan for my estate planning needs. Give his office a call to set up a free consultation at 435-673-9220. Andrew's firm is headquartered in St. George, but he spends plenty of time along the Wasatch Front taking care of his needs. So call him and tell him that Britton Covey sent you.
More info at trustyourtrust.com.
All right, Trey, let's talk about some of the free agents that are going to be available this offseason. And I have my list here. The top five free agents that will be available. Available being the key term. All right, number one, Tyrann Mathieu. I think the Honey Badger is going to be available. The Chiefs are going to are running into cap issues this offseason. They probably don't have time for a big-time safety on the tag. He seems like a guy, from everything I've seen within Chiefs beat reporters world, is going to be on the open market. So I think he, to me, and to me, he's the best player available. He's still a top safety in the NFL and one of the best defensive players as well.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I don't see how Kansas City lets him go, because of the short time he's been there, he's not only just rooted himself to the community, to that Kansas City area, but he's just become this ever so valuable piece for a Chiefs defense that hasn't really had a good year ever since he's been there. You know, if they didn't have Tyrann Mathieu, that defense would have been in complete shambles. But he's been there to shore up at least part of the back half of that secondary and do the multitude of things they ask him to do. So I see no way the Chiefs let him go.
And if really?
I don't see it, at least for another couple years. I think they
bring him back. How can they afford him, though?
And that's the thing. That's the thing. The Chiefs have been real creative with their cap situation. They got real creative with it when they signed Patrick Mahomes to that fat contract. So, which, you know, doesn't kick in for, I'm not sure his contract kicks in for.
Pretty sure it's next year.
Next year. Okay. But I just don't see how they let Tyrann Mathieu go. I mean, who else is going to be back there to replace him? You know, and here's the weird thing was that with Tyrann Mathieu or Juan Thornhill or those guys weren't playing, you know, they were relying on Daniel Sorensen to play back there. I don't think they want to play Daniel Sorensen full time because, number one, he stinks. Number two, they'd be punting on their defense and the back half specifically if they did indeed start him. So I don't think the Chiefs let him go. I think they get creative with their cap and find a way to bring him back because he's just that important to their defense, in my opinion. And from what I've seen from other people who follow the Chiefs more closely, I think they'd say the same thing. So,
To me, the only way he stays is if they franchise tag him, and that would be a lot of money. Because he's a guy that he's getting older. Like, this is going to be basically the last time that he's able to get the most money out of free agency. I think he wants to go do that. And he's already got the ring with Kansas City. Like,
true.
Couldn't you just see him like going to, like, to me, like another AFC contender? Like, I saw PFF mock him too, and once I saw it, I was just like, oh yeah, that would make sense. Like, couldn't you just see him like ending up on the Ravens or something? Like, as like a piece in the secondary that John Harbaugh kind of puts together. Maybe I just think
that they had a couple years ago.
Yeah, I don't think that the Chiefs can afford him. So that's kind of my thought there. Chandler Jones, a lot of reports that he's not going to be returning to Arizona simply because of his age. But hey, I mean, Chandler Jones has not had a season where he's had, let me look this up. I believe it's something crazy, like 7 years where he hasn't had
less than like 9 or 10 sacks.
Yeah. Right. Like,
it's been insane.
It is absolutely insane. I mean, let's see here. It has been, he has not had under 5 sacks in, let's see, not counting years of injuries. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years since he's had less than 10 sacks when he's been fully healthy the entire season. He's just a great defensive player, and I think he's going to hit the open market and people will be interested in him.
Yeah, some team out there is going to give him some money. It doesn't matter how old he is, because he showed some injury concerns, I guess you could say, over the past couple of years. He had that torn biceps, I believe, in 2020. And I believe in, you know, this past season, he was fighting through some injury concerns as well, which might turn some teams off, but he's going to get some money because that production is there. His film still looks good. I mean, What's stopping teams from giving him money?
Von Miller is like a really interesting player at this point in his career because you don't see the sack totals and stuff in the regular season, but he's just a playoff monster. And the Rams have made it pretty clear they're not going to be able to re-sign him with cap restraints. He's going to go chase another ring. I'm interested to see where he resigns, but I have him as the third guy that's the most valuable that'll actually be able to hit the free agent market.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I saw some talk saying that he would want to return to Denver. I don't know how likely that is, but yeah.
I don't think so. I think he wants to go get another ring. I think he wants to go play for a contender.
And that's certainly fair. There's certainly some teams out there contender-wise that need an edge rusher. I'd be Kansas City is going to definitely need another edge rusher. And Von Miller fits the mold as sort of a guy that could really help them during important moments, which, you know, for Kansas City, their edge rushers, you know, specifically their pass rushers aside from Chris Jones, hasn't really shown up in the playoffs in the whole Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes era. So who says, you know, they can't go out and try to attract Von Miller, you know, which would be certainly interesting.
Yeah, at four, I have a combined Saints parlay, we'll call it, Marcus Williams / Teron Armstead. One of those two guys isn't going to be able to be franchise tagged and will walk away. Yeah. So if they don't track, I would be shocked if they don't tag the left tackle. Like, that just seems like the smart business move. But Marcus Williams, after the Minneapolis miracle, you know, he's put himself back together pretty, or that might not have been Marcus Williams.
I think that was actually Marcus Williams.
Okay, I wanted.
Was it PJ Williams?
Yeah, I was like, was that PJ Williams or Marcus Williams? I get.
It was Marcus Williams,
but he's been a pretty good safety other than one bad moment in his career. So he'll be out there. He'll garner some interest. Bucs center Ryan Jensen.
Yeah.
Seems like he'll be one of the top guys available on the offensive line. Like, I guess maybe Brandon Scherff, but it feels like the Washington football team would just use the tag on him again. Because they don't really have a ton of other guys to tag.
Yeah.
And then not in the top five, but fun bonus guys at flashy fantasy football positions. I'm just going to read these out rapid fire. Pick two or three that you're most interested in here, Trey. Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Williams, Will Fuller, Allen Robinson, Cordarrelle Patterson, Melvin Gordon, Odell Beckham.
Well, obviously I'll say Odell Beckham Jr. because he showed his worth after, you know, getting out of Cleveland. But, you know, he's coming off another torn ACL, and you just don't know how that's going to do, you know, or what it's going to do to him in terms of athleticism and skill set. So who knows how much he gets paid, who does pay him. He said he wants to stay in L.A. I'm sure L.A. would love to bring him back at a discounted rate, and I think he would give them a discounted rate, especially now that some teams might be wary to pay him because he's coming off that serious knee injury. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Odell. The second one I would probably keep an eye on at least is Juju Smith-Schuster. Like Odell, Juju Smith-Schuster wants to stay in Pittsburgh. He loves Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh loves him. But some team out there might be willing to pay him some money to just come in and be maybe their wide receiver one or two. Maybe
Buy that. You might have a point because this is a man that chose Ben Roethlisberger in his contract year against like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. But yeah. I really do think that he wants some money. And the Steelers just aren't going to do that because they have so many other holes to fill. And they still have a question in market quarterback. To me, I think he's the guy that I think the Chiefs end up trying to get on a discount deal this year and say, hey, you kind of spurred us last year. It's probably good. You want to come win a ring, like come here and make a big three for us, basically, and we'll throw you into a good wide receiving core.
Which, that would be really, really good from the Chiefs' standpoint, because both of, you know, their issues offensively throughout the first half of the season, you know, of course, was them not being able to adjust against defenses playing a lot of cover too. But the other fact was that they just couldn't find another solid contributor outside of Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. So them adding another wide receiver too would certainly put their offense back on the map in terms of consistency. So that's something I would probably be real interested in seeing go down, in all honesty.
Yeah, the other guy here that interests me, Cordarrelle Patterson, how much of that was just playing with Arthur Smith where he was unlocked? Basically, everywhere Cordarrelle Patterson has ever gone has tried to play him as a running back, and it's failed terribly, except for in Atlanta. So I don't know what the interest level around him is going to be in the offseason, but he's an interesting guy to watch.
Yeah, that is something certainly to watch. I think he'll be back in Atlanta because he's certainly one that could keep that whole mission of them trying to stay competitive. But, you know, the Falcons aren't going to probably push for the division title, even now with how, you know, uncertain the entire division is with Tom Brady retiring. But they're probably not going to push for the division title, probably not even going to push for a playoff spot. Unless they get a really, really soft schedule next year like they did this past season. So I think he'll be back in Atlanta, though, in all honesty.
Gotcha. All right, let's finish up here. Game Pass Roulette. I have some more downtime than normal, although I'm trying to fill that downtime with college basketball. I've been very into that this year. Trey, give me two teams that I should go deep into some game passing on that maybe we can talk about in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. One team I would probably slide your way is potentially the, let's say Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
I know they might be a little
Easily do that. I watch them for my job. So I actually have a bevy of notes on that. That's good. So
I'll it's probably the Las Vegas Raiders there. They have some things that might be interesting on film. The second team, I won't give you an easy one. For the second team, I'll go ahead and give you the Atlanta Falcons because they, you know, like I said, they probably might not push for a playoff spot or a division title, but they
They won't. To me, they're like one of the most reckoned teams in the NFL. They need to decide what they're going to be because they can't just stick with Matt Ryan anymore. Like they've got to kind of blow this thing up. They could hold with Matt Ryan and stay mediocre and pick some good players, which would be good. But like the roster is pretty devoid of talent. They got AJ Terrell last year at corner, who was actually a revelation, pretty good, almost an all pro. But the offense, I mean, you don't know if Calvin Ridley's even coming back. Like they've got some questions. I did watch some Falcons last year, but yeah, I'll watch a few Falcons games. Get back to you, Trey.
Yeah, they're interesting though, like in terms of, you know, well, not interesting, but they're such
no, I know what you mean. Odd.
Yeah, it's kind of odd to look at because, like you said, they're wrecked. I mean, the roster stinks. I mean, you know, aside from the few players that they had, and they virtually have zero cap space, and they're not going to have any cap space for maybe a year, another year or two, because I know Terry Fulton, their new GM down there, he was faced with that tough task of trying to see who does he cut, who does he trade away, and he had to settle on Julio, you know, even though Julio wanted out. But, you know, he traded away Julio, tried to get some future cap relief, but I just don't know when that cap situation is going to be even marginally good because, you know, I could pull up their cap situation right now and because
To end this show, let's just go over this because I think this is always a fascinating thing to do going into the offseason. Let me just read really quick to you the top 10 and bottom five teams with cap space. So let's start with the bottom five.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Bottom five teams cap space wise. Actually, we'll just go everyone that's under the cap, basically. So everyone with negative showing up. The Buffalo Bills, 24. The Atlanta Falcons, 25. The Titans, the Giants, the Rams, the Vikings, the Cowboys, the Packers, and the worst, the Saints. So anything there stick out to you? To me, the Saints stick out. Like, it seems to me they went status quo on, you know me, I like listening to Saints Twitter podcast. So I'll just say Ryan and Adam are not high on them. Like, they think that they are just punting to next year. And I can't see any other way to do it, honestly. They have no room to spend in free agency and no real better option than bringing Jameis Winston back.
Exactly. And if they don't bring Jameis Winston back, you can bet on it, guarantee it, that they'll roll out Taysom Hill again. And if they do that, that'll be the clear indicator for me to watch zero Saints games this year, regardless of their record, because I do not want to spend another minute watching Taysom Hill play quarterback. That's literally one of the few things that can make me want to gouge my own eyeballs out. And that might be serious, or, you know, that might be overly serious, and I might be pushing it some. But watching Taysom Hill play quarterback makes me want to give myself brain damage. I'm so serious. He's so bad. I don't want to watch that ever again.
Indeed. The top 10 teams. I like to look at this by like big name free agents. Big name free agents usually gonna be about $30 million for a year. So 60 million, you could get like two big name free agents basically, or a few, or fill out your roster with some middle guys. So the top three guys with like around $60 million in cap space, the Miami Dolphins, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then you take a step down. This is the teams with about 50 million to work with: the Cincinnati Bengals, the New York Jets. And then you take another step down. It moves down to about 40 million to work with. You got the Denver Broncos, the Indianapolis Colts, the Seattle Seahawks. One more step down to about 30 million. And the top 10 rounds out with the Washington Commanders and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll tell you right now, Trey, the team on there that has me most interested is Washington, because it feels like they're going to be able to apply that cap room to basically Brandon Scherf and roll back the same team as they had last year.
Yeah. their cap situation is actually kind of remind me of the team you said again, my short term.
Washington,
yeah. I've been really trying to push the whole Washington agenda the past couple of years, because, you know, that division title that they had, although it was fluky, I was like, okay, they could add some pieces, fight a quarterback. They have some pieces offensively. Maybe, you know, they can get some done. That defense looks good. That defense fell off a cliff this year. I don't know how.
Wasn't great.
I don't know how, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because they faced some legit competition instead of having to beat up on bad teams like they did in 2020. But good gosh, that defense fell off a cliff, and I don't know what they're going to do, you know, to turn it around. Chase Young is coming off a real serious injury. Offensively, they have no quarterback. Taylor Heineke. He's good for vibes and he's good for memes, but he's not the quarterback you want starting. So I don't know. They're just in a weird spot, in all honesty.
Yeah, they're one of these teams that's like Matt Vladavino's obviously been on this podcast a few times. He's heavy into pushing like, oh yeah, they're trading for Russell Wilson for sure. Like, they're kind of one of these crazy fan bases along with the Broncos that think, hey, we're gonna get in. Oh, and by the way, let's just end this way. My final point, Trey. Ask me how I feel about the Broncos.
Oh, Eric, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know.
It's only fair. We talked about the Titans.
That's true. Eric, how do you feel about the soulless situation within the Denver Broncos?
Well, largely apathetic. Apathy is the number one word that comes to my mind these days. It's just feels hopeless, Trey, to be quite honest with you. Everyone was like, oh, Aaron Rodgers. And then there's no chance they get Aaron Rodgers. No chance they get Russell Wilson. They're probably going to draft Kenny Pickett at like 9, and that's going to be a terrible choice. Every quarterback in his draft class, and this is a take I'm going to stand by, without watching any of the quarterbacks, I've just seen it from enough people I trust, but this is my blind take of the offseason. You ready for it? I'm going to kill every team that takes a quarterback in the first round.
Except the team that takes Malik Willis.
Nope, I'm going to kill them too, because I saw a article today that was like, taking Malik Willis means essentially you're just tanking next year. He's not NFL ready at all.
No, of course not. But when he is NFL ready, he might be insanely good. So
no, I don't think there's any chance he's insanely good. He went to Liberty. Like, what are we talking
no,
about?
No, I'm saying the traits he has, if he does develop,
he could be like a mediocre NFL starter at best.
Well, not mediocre, because that dude has a crazy arm.
No, that's crazy. Better. Everyone I listen to, Trey, tells me this. The ceiling of these guys is Kirk Cousins. Like, that's it.
That's fair. And then that's probably
I'm not gonna let you trick me into Malik Willis. I'm not gonna let Malik Willis trick me into Malik Willis.
No,
Malik I'm not gonna
Willis
let
is good for a tanking team with a good staff that can develop a quarterback.
Okay, so if you're gonna tank next year, why not then ditch Malik Willis and get the tremendously better Bryce Young or CJ Stroud?
Well, it's the reason why people
keep right exactly
gambling all right can be fun, man.
Trey, come on now. Let's not hype up Malik Willis. I refuse to let this be that type of podcast. Like, there's not a good quarterback in this draft class. Nobody here is going to be good. So,
yeah, and you know what made it so bad is that I saw one guy who's heavy into draft content a couple of days ago said, if you're looking for the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft, it's Desmond Ridder. And Desmond Ridder ain't all that good, bro.
And by the way, I don't want people to say, oh, Eric, you just said you didn't watch any. That's false. I didn't watch any highlights. I watched a ton of Sam Howell this year. Sam Howell is terrible. I watched a ton of Desmond Ridder this year. Desmond Ridder is terrible. I watched Kenny Pickett for like 3 games. He didn't really impress me. I have not watched Malik Willis, but I'm willing to say from everything I've heard, he is likely terrible. He also went to Liberty. So I'm just saying, no, that's not happening. We are not going to be tricked into this is a good quarterback class. I won't allow that to happen to us before April. That just won't happen. I swear to God, that is my one mission for this damn podcast this offseason. We're not going to be tricked into thinking quarterbacks in this class are good, because they're clearly not, from every like expert that says anything about quarterbacks. Even the amateur blog boys say this class is terrible. Come on now, let's not trick ourselves. So but the Broncos also have huge holes at edge rusher. They don't really have tackles. They're going to have to let Jerry Jeudy walk at some point. They've just wasted yet another crop of talented offensive skill positions. I am going to tell you right now, Trey, if they roll into the next season with Kenny Pickett or really Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock, if they roll into next season with any of those other guys, I will not be talking about the Broncos a lot. I'll just abstain for a little while. I can't do this again. I'm not going to be stupid. I say stupid things about the Broncos all the time. It's time to be realistic. It's time to say they are likely going to suck next year. There's no reason to get excited this offseason. None. Zero. All right, Trey. That'll do it. We'll be back Sunday. We're going to do a combine preview, but really it'll be a draft big board sort of thing. Ryan's going to walk us through who's good, who's bad. We're going to learn some college players' names, which is the first step, Trey, toward us becoming YouTube draft scouts, which is what we like to be on this podcast. If I get that He's supposed to send me over his draft board tonight. If I get that, I'll send that to you too, so you can start looking up some of these guys on YouTube, so we have some frame of reference. I feel like each of us should come to the table with like five guys we want to talk about. Malik Willis can be one of yours, since you are in love with him. So anyhow.
No, I just the Malik Willis brings out the gambling side of me. So yeah, I tap into that side too often. So
yeah. All right. Okay. That's been it for the End Zone podcast. Off-season preview in the book. We'll talk to you about the combine on Sunday. Trey, you can find him on Twitter at TreyWatkins099. Good follow. Great guy. He's got something. He was telling me he was writing something. So you got something coming tomorrow? Can you tease that?
Yeah, it's just something minor. I'm just looking back and grading the Titans offseason moves that they made last offseason, and I'm going to be diving into some free agency stuff that they could do over the next couple weeks. So yeah,
good stuff. You can check out my blog, thedramaofitallsportsblog.com. It's in my Twitter bio if you don't want to type all that up. I have been writing about Utah State basketball recently, so go check that out. Alright Trey, it's been fun. I will see you Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Peace out, guys.